The next speaker is Gareth Pearce. Gareth, I think, needs no introduction. She has been around also for a very long time. She's a human rights activist, a human rights champion, and a friend. Gareth's firm is representing some of the students who are in detention. Gareth, over to you.
Okay. I'm not exactly sure that Tariq's quite right. I think that already the young men from Pakistan who were arrested in Manchester are actually known as yet another disastrous own goal police operation. I believe that is the symbolic state they have for many people in this country. It's like Forest Gate. You just have to say Forest Gate and you know it was a catastrophe. They shot one young man, they wrongly arrested him and his brother. Or de Menezes. You just have to say de Menezes and everybody knows. Well, there is quite a bit of that known about these boys in Manchester. You don't have to say a lot more to know a huge amount that goes with it. And sometimes, if you just see or hear or sit down with someone and speak to them, you know it all. And perhaps you remember when Koya and Kahar from Forest Gate actually very quickly had a press conference and spoke to the world. They had absolutely nothing to hide. They spoke, and everybody could see and hear what they were. Two completely innocent, law-abiding, decent young men. And if you could meet these young men in Manchester, you would know. And if you're a lawyer, defence lawyer, you aren't necessarily a complete idiot. You aren't necessarily a total soft touch that you believe anything. If you just sat with Abid, who's the young man we represent, his whole body language, his whole way of talking, he's actually very relaxed. Of course, it's appalling, the situation he's in a grim old Victorian part of a Victorian prison in Manchester. It's horrible. But he has that quiet calm of someone who has really nothing to fear. So he talks in a way that has the complete hallmark of innocence. He says, I don't know why I'm here. He says, I'm with people who've committed murder. I shouldn't be with people who've committed murder. In fact, legally, he's completely right. There are rules, prison rules, that say people who are not convicted, people who are on immigration charges, should not be with convicted prisoners. But they're choosing to ignore all that for these young men. But it isn't that. He's not saying he has a distaste for people. He's asserting the morality and the legitimacy of his position, which he is an innocent person. And he's saying, I'm only going to stay to clear my name. I'd be happy to go home tomorrow. I'd be happy to see my parents. Many people who are made the subject of a deportation order on the grounds that they're a threat to national security, which is the absurdity that's alleged against these young men. Many, in fact, probably most of those people can't go to their countries of origin. They're in fear of persecution. They're in fear of torture. They've probably been tortured in the past, and that's why they've been here and they're refugees. This isn't the case. Abid would say, I would love to go home, but I've got to stay to clear my name. Now, sadly, he and the others will be considerably better off if they've been prosecuted by the police. They will by now have the statements in their case. They would now see what was alleged against them. But instead, they have a right to apply for bail. They exercised that right. They went to court to exercise that right. Abid had an address. He had sureties. He had letters of support. He had letters from his colleges. He had letters from Pakistan. He was not someone who people were running away from. They were saying, this is a fine, decent, respectable young man. We will pledge our money to get him bail. We will be sureties. He can come and live with us. That's all right. He's exercising his right to bail. But what did the state exercise? It exercised its claimed right to tell him nothing. Now, that isn't a right. That is the opposite of a right. That is what the European Court of Human Rights has said is a non-negotiable violation of the fundamental rights of people within the whole of the Council of Europe community. That if you are deprived of your liberty, you have to be told a basic bare minimum of what's alleged against you. And a case was won by people wrongfully held arbitrarily, indefinitely, without trial. It's won in Europe. And Europe said that, the European Court, in a resounding way in February of this year. So when these men came to court to apply for bail, they had a real expectation that they had to be told what it was that was alleged against them. But no, they were told nothing, absolutely not a word, nothing. And when the application was made to the court, look, if you are applying the European Court's judgment that you are bound in law, as a member of the Council of Europe, as a court in this country, you are bound by treaty obligations to implement a decision of the Court of Human Rights. The court simply looked and said no. You can try again for bail the end of July. We're refusing you bail on the basis of no evidence. We uphold what the Secretary of State has said. We'll tell you nothing. Now, you need stamina to fight the British state. You really do. And every day, even if the state knows it's going to lose everything in the case at the end of the day, even if the state can anticipate defeat, sadly it regards every day that it keeps someone in custody as a victory. Now, this young man, Abid, has taken on the state. He's applied for what's called judicial review to challenge the legitimacy of the Special Immigration Court to deprive him of bail on no evidence. It's a fundamental constitutional challenge. Can a court do this? Instead of having a hearing in a reasonable amount of time, he first has to establish that he can judicially review a superior court of record, which is what the court has made itself. What it means is, this is like a marathon, and when the court that blithely refuses him bail on the basis of nothing that he's told says, well, at best we'll have a consideration of these cases sometime in the new year. Judge speaking to the clerk, tell me, when was the last case we fixed? Oh, February. Okay, this will be sometime after February. This is not prompt justice. This is not a recourse to courts that are dealing with the situation in a lawfully objective and managed way. It isn't. It's something else. It's a war of attrition. And the use of secret evidence is an enormous weapon in the armory of the state. And it's a weapon that it is accumulating in any kind of case it chooses. So now, deportation to a country where you might be tortured, but on the grounds of national security, it's now the state has gained a victory, at least for the moment, in the courts, that you can do it on no evidence at all. His, in fact, isn't the first case it happened. It was the third. It was the same judge in the same court, started it in one case, followed it in another, and now Abid is the person who's inherited this appalling new venture in law. All of these are experiments. All of these, when Tony Blair said the rules of the game have changed in August 2005, it isn't a game, and there are rules, but it's entirely true that the state has been constantly trying to change them. And these are battles in courts, indeed they are, but they're slow moving, they're slow motion, they're exhausting for the men or women who are on the receiving end of them and have to fight them. And someone like Abid is going to need a considerable amount of support, and so are the other young men. And when Tariq says that communities who can be classified within this country as the suspect community, the Muslim community, if that community has had good reason to be put in fear, then all of us, society as a whole, has a responsibility to come to the aid of these young men. If they're going to apply for bail at the end of July, they need people who can offer to be surety. They need people who can offer addresses at which they can live. These are absolutely fundamental building blocks for them to have some liberty. That liberty may be constrained if it's granted, but truly the courts need to see, the government needs to see, that this is not acceptable, that maybe for the moment secret evidence is still staggering on as a concept that we are specialising in this country. We are seeking to export. We are seeking to persuade other countries to use it. We are seeking to persuade other countries to use indefinite detention without trial, even though this country lost that victory. We are seeking to deport people here to countries where they'll be tortured on the basis of secret evidence, and we're seeking to persuade others to do the same. In order to have any possibility of effective success, there has to be a recognition of what is going on. It affects only a few people. It affects people who are marginalized by the press as outcasts or outlaws, people who are tainted. That is not the case. These are decent, good young men that we were lucky to have come to this country to study here, lucky to have come to this country who might be minded one day to work here. Abid was intending to go on and do a master's degree. When I asked him what he would do if he got bail, he said, I'd do two things. I'll ring my father and I'll take my exams. I've got to do my exams. I've got to get into that MA course next February. You don't have to be Sherlock Holmes to know that these are not terrorists. It is disgusting, it is disgraceful that we have been allowing this to be perpetrated on these young men. It's not just one. There is a sufficient body of them to make it an even greater scandal. And as Tariq says, these are young men who, for the most part, their families have saved all their lives to send them here. All of the family has worked to send them here, and this is what we've done to them. Now, it's all very well to talk theoretically in law about secret evidence and what it means. What it means is a complete train crash of a life, a catastrophe, and it's a catastrophe that we're sending that message out. So, that's all I have to say.
Thank you.